Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the 49ers Roster Countdown. We have number 49, 1 through 90, or I guess 90 through 1. Defensive tackle, new addition, Hassan Ridgeway. Going to be wearing jersey number 98, and he came into the league as a tweener, defensive tackle, defensive end. He was 6'3", 305, and he ballooned. he was a basketball convert player from Mansfield, Texas, south of Dallas-Fort Worth. And, you know, he was a ball player. He didn't start playing football till his sophomore year in high school, and it was very evident right off the bat. I actually coached against this kid a few years. We were in the same district as them whenever I was coaching for Duncanville, and man, he popped off the tape. You know, he was a defensive end back then in high school and was just, he was huge, but you could tell it's what he could be. And so it took him a while to kind of settle in his role, into his body and role. You know, 6'3", 305, this is his seventh season. My guess is, you know, they don't re-weigh players and make that public. They usually stay with their combine weight. My guess is he's much closer to 325, 330 now. His frame is just gigantic. Shoulders, body, everything. I mean, he was built to be able to add this weight on there. So he's 27 years old, entering into his seventh season. Went to the University of Texas, majored in applied learning and development, and minored in social work. This dude's got a freaking heart on him. Just really, really cares about people and education and things like that. Went to Texas, hook 'em, baby. And you know, I'll say this. Whenever you get these guys, again, another Big 12 all honor roll guy, commissioner's honor roll in 2014. Like, the dude is smart, intelligent, and seems to have a very, very caring heart on him. So if you look at what he did, some of the honors, you know, he was an all-state player in high school, played in the 2012 U.S. Army All-American Bowl, moved from defensive end to defensive tackle in the 2013 season. And, you know, kind of his issues in the NFL, he's had a lot of injuries. There's no doubt about that. Like, he was drafted, you know, I think he was drafted in the fourth round by the Colts, number 116 overall. And it just kind of learned really quick, he's a role guy. And that's not an insult. You know, some people are role guys. They have a defined thing that they do well, and they don't really do much outside of that. And that's kind of who Hassan Ridgeway is. He is a run stuffer, a penetrating run stuffer, always plays on the opposing, you know, offensive line side of the ball, which has a value in the NFL. And I'm excited to have him because this is something the 49ers have missed big time. You know, think about Kentavious Street, number 95. He's taken his job. And when the Bravo group, the backup defensive line group, would step in, things would get bad because the defensive tackles would get pushed back into the face of the linebackers. And that's when Fred Warner struggled, is because he was dodging guys. So here for this one, you know, I did two Patreon video breakdowns, and I'm going to throw, if you're watching on YouTube, you can kind of watch this film. I'm putting it up in the square there. Now, if you're one of the people that's like, man, why isn't the screen the whole entire screen? I want to see more of this. Again, this is just a little added extra thing. I have two full breakdowns of his game up on Patreon. So if you want to go watch those two full breakdowns, just Google 49ers Patreon. We're the first channel that shows up, or go to patreon.com/ 49ers Rush Podcast. And as soon as you join, you get access to over 200 breakdowns, including two that I just recently put up, just put one up today over there on Hassan Ridgeway. And again, this is game film. And kind of what you see with his play, it's not highlights. He's not a highlight guy. But he's somebody that occupies offensive linemen and is always on the correct side of the line. So always moving forward, never retreating. Now, if we look at his athletic profile, he ran the it's pretty funny. You know, you look at his spider graph, he's either really good or really bad at everything. his 40-yard dash was a 5.02, which is in the top 66%, so that's good. Bench press, you had 24 reps. That's average. Three cone. He had one of the worst three cones in the history of the combine, 8.28. And again, this is he's not a pass rusher. That's not he's not – he doesn't have any bend. He doesn't have hip flexibility. That's not what he is. He is a power. He is a bulldozer that moves forward no matter who's in front of him. He's not swim moving. He's he's not doing DE stunts and all that stuff. No, no, no. This is a first, second down run stuffer that you can rely on consistently. That's the thing about him. His tape, if you're watching this, consistent. His vertical, he jumped 32 inches, which is the top 80%. His broad jump, which was 113, was the top 90%. So all of his strengths in the lower body, and he doesn't have shiftiness. It's just power. That's what he brings. He's a baller, right? So he's been jumping his whole life. Now, his athletic profile, the closest match was Javon Hargrave, who he was backing up for the Eagles. And so, like, again, he doesn't have the twitch that Javon Hargrave has, but very similar, powerful, big body. And, you know, again, teams have a type, right? So the fact that he was backing up the player that he was the closest comp with, I think tells a story. Now, you look at his contract, it's $1.8 million. They brought him in on a one-year $1.8. He can make up to $2.5 million. He's 27 years old, fourth rounder. Now, let's go through his NFL career, because this is his seventh season. He was drafted number 116 overall in the fourth round by the Colts in 2016, and it didn't take much to kind of figure out what he was for. You know, played in 16 games his rookie year, five starts. You know, two tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, like played 40% of the snaps, right? Second year, 13 games, five starts, played 16% of the snaps, had an injury. Next year, 2018, five games, one start, 6% of the snaps, got injured. Then he gets traded for a seventh round pick, right? So didn't look great going from the Colts to Philly. Well, he fulfilled a role for Philly that they really liked. They kept bringing him back on one-year deals, 24% of the snaps in 2019, 12% of the snaps in 2020, got injured again. And in 2021, 33% of the snaps, played in every game. That's who he is. Like, he is a backup, 20% play snap. That's what he's going to continue to do. You know, he's a one-year player that's just a mercenary that's going to bounce around for teams that want depth and value offensive line. Look at the three teams he's played for. Colts, huge amount of capital, draft. I mean, shoot, they traded for, you know, DeForest Buckner. It's the same staff there. They value defensive line. Philadelphia Eagles, guess what? I would argue with the 49ers, maybe one of the deepest defensive line groups in the NFL. Then he goes to the 49ers, one of the deepest defensive line groups in the NFL. So for teams that put a value on defensive line depth, this guy's going to have a job. And I think he's going to be around for a while. And I think he's going to make this roster because, one, the amount of money that they gave him, he does his job well. So 12 career starts, 65 games played, and if you just compile his stats, one of my favorite things about him, two blocked point after attempt touchdown. So, you know, he blocked two field goals. That's huge. You know, he's got 13 career tackle for loss, 9.5 sacks, 19 quarterback hits, 43 pressures. And again, all of his pressures, if you're watching this, we're seeing one right now. His pressures are, I'm just bulldozing, man. I'm just running you into the quarterback. That's what he is. And he's going to be on the Bravo group, the backup defensive line group, going to replace number 95, which I'm super excited about. And, you know, he's a three tech that can play in the A-gap if you want to. So if you're looking at kind of what he can do, listen to these breakdown in snaps. 252 snaps as a three tech, 86 snaps in the A gap, and 57 lined up over the tackle. So he's a three tech guy, and that's kind of where he's going to be. Now, what does it look like? Is he making the roster? Yes, I think that he is. Just because the amount of money that he got, it would almost be a complete wash if the 49ers did cut him. Not going to be a practice squad guy, seventh year. Like, there is a space in the NFL for this guy. Now, I'm taking the film down as we conclude this video. And if you want to go watch those again, just head over to Patreon. That's where everything is. You can watch both those. Now, he's going to be a key role. You're not going to probably even know his name. You're not going to notice he's out there, except for the fact when you see him, number 98, he's in the offensive backfield. That's his job. He'll come in for two snaps, and then on third down, he'll come out. And on long drives in the second and fourth quarter, that's when you will see him. But he will play a role. He's been taking mostly the second team snaps, in camp, which, again, that tells you a lot. That Maurice Hurst, you know, he's getting snaps ahead of him. Kevin Givens is getting snaps ahead of him. They are much more three-down linemen. This guy is just a role. He plays a role, and that's what he's going to continue to do. I'm excited to have him. I think that this is one of the small kind of detail signings that paints a picture of this 49ers team. Depth. Depth at one of the most key positions, defensive line. You're not running on this Bravo group like you used to. And that's why I like this signing. So Hassan Ridgeray, welcome to the 49ers. Excited to have him. Excited to watch him. And he's going to help those linebackers be much better players on those long extended drives. Hopefully they don't get too many long extended drives against us. But that's where it is.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
With maybe the backup quarterback, number 48, quarterback Nate Sudfeld. He's wearing jersey number 7, and he's a big one. 6'6", 227 pounds. He's a big cat. He's kind of been... He comes from a long family line of football players. He has 2 twin brothers, both played in the NFL, or both played college ball. One of them went on to the NFL. And Nate Sudfeld is entering into his 8th season. He checks almost every single box as your vet, backup, / coach, / whatever, except for playing time. Never really received a lot of playing time, but man, he has been around some coaches. You know, the GM that drafted him, we'll get more into this, Scott McLaughlin, Sean McVay. Like, he's been with some cats. You know, Jay Gruden, he's been around the block, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. We'll detail all that. But before we do that and talk about what his role for the 49ers is going to be in 2022, let's dive into his history. Let's go through kind of how he got to where he is and why every single coaching staff he's been with has loved him. He's from Modesto Christian, Modesto, California. He was a three-star recruit and eventually chose Indiana. But before that, let's go through his high school because there's a lot of texture to this kid. You know, he played for Steve Gleason at Modesto Christian High. He was the team's MVP. He was also the Trans Valley League Offensive MVP, second team All-State, first district whatever. And you can go through his stats. I mean, it's just unreal. 31 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Set the school's single season record for passing yards, passing touchdowns, passing yards per game. You know, he had one game where he threw for 384 yards and 6 touchdowns. Like, he was the number 14 nationally ranked quarterback coming out by ESPN and National Honor Society member, played basketball, football, all those things. And his family, very humanitarian minded. Whenever he's 14, he took a trip to Uganda, which kind of changed the way he saw things. And when he was in college, he went back to Africa and served on some more mission trips. So he's somebody that cares, somebody that works, very intelligent for sure. He chose to go to Indiana, and man, he got playing time right away. He's one of three players that started for Indiana as a true freshman in the history of their entire program, and came on, you know, all Big Ten freshman team, all those things. Sophomore year, you know, he came out academic all Big Ten and started pretty much every single game with 21 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. His junior year, again, academic all Big Ten. Every single player, man, it seems like as we go through this roster and you dive into each individual player, if there's one commonality, intelligence is key. This coaching staff wants smart players, and it just, man, I could just pull string doll, you know, academic, all big, whatever. Every single player we go through. Junior year, struggled a little bit. He had 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, suffered a season injury, shoulder injury, ended his season, and then, you know, that year coming back, probably one of his biggest years. Whenever you're looking at his junior to senior year, he went and helped Andrew Luck, you know, work with his Big Ten kickoff luncheon. He helped. He was a camp counselor at the Eli Manning and Peyton Manning camp. Everything started to change. Went and, you know, toured Africa, things like that. And he came out and just blew it up. Led the Big Ten in passing yards per game, passing yards, total offense, total touchdowns. Had 27 touchdowns. He killed it. It was absolutely incredible. And, you know, that's what kind of vaulted him up his 2015 senior year. He was on the Maxwell Award, Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award watch list, all these things, 6-time game captain, all academic, whatever. I mean, you can just go on and on and on. And whenever he left Indiana, talking about Sudfeld, he owns almost all the record books. Again, if you're just looking at Indiana passing quarterbacks, first in passing touchdowns with 61, passing yards over 7,000. 6 350-yard games, 11 300-yard games. He just lit it up. I mean, I've got a whole list here. It just goes on and on and on and on. This, he dominated the Big Ten with a school that's not well known for kind of what they do offensively. I love the Indiana program. I really, really do. But it's kind of hard for Indiana to compete with those bigger Big Ten schools. And he was able to do that. Now, let's look at his athletic profile heading into the NFL draft. He's huge, 6'6", right? Top 95% of quarterbacks. 243 pounds. He's lost some weight since then. 34.5-inch arms. I mean, golly, he's tall, he's long, he's big. And so if this was the 1980s, this dude would have been a first or second round pick. But it's not. He's not mobile at all. Ran a 4.9340, 7.423 code, and a 29-inch vertical. He's not mobile. I mean, with his body and his size, he can kind of lean into things. And so he can maneuver time and get a little bit expanded time in the pocket. But he's not rushing for first downs very often. It's just not really what he does. You know, his two closest... This is alarming, but it shouldn't be. His two closest athletic profiles, Nate Sudfeld, Brock Osweiler and Sam Bradford, right? Those are the type of guys that you're comparing. Sam Bradford was the number one overall pick, right? But again, not mobile. Size and character are by far his best traits. He has a lot of college experience and a lot of NFL coaching and being around learning, but never really took a lot of snaps. And so we'll talk more about that in a second. He's an anticipation thrower, strong arm, can make every single throw, deep, short, does show some touch, struggles the close, how do I say this? Kind of dump offs, like I noticed, you know, not the most touch, but he's not like slinging it like Colin Kaepernick all the time, you know, whenever they're close or whatever. I like him. Doesn't step into his throw consistently, gets through reads decently. But again, we don't have a lot of film on him. We really, really don't. So if we go through his NFL journey, it's more the things that you like are the people he's been around. He was drafted in the sixth round by, was then the Washington Redskins in the 2016 draft. In the sixth round, 187, and Jay Gruden was the head coach. Sean McVay was the coordinator. The GM was Scott McLaughlin. So he's been around some studs. He was backing up Kirk Cousins, and then he lost the job to Colt McCoy. You know, both Kyle Shanahan guys, right? And so they waived him, and whenever that happened, the Eagles picked him up. And so they picked him up in 2017. He won a Super Bowl his first year with the Eagles. Now, did he play very much? No, he did not. But Doug Peterson loved this guy. You know, talking to Eagles fans, they have nothing but positive things to say about Nate Sudfeld. But he was behind Carson Wentz and then Nick Foles. And he never really – he did win the backup job eventually – but just again, never really got in. Did have a season-ending broken wrist back in 2017. It just kind of bounced around. I mean, stayed on the Eagles, but never really got playing time. Then he gets cut, comes to the 49ers, and the 49ers signed him to a one-year deal last year. He was released and brought back. You know, didn't really do much. Kyle Shanahan did him a favor, bumping him up to the active roster so he could get paid at the end of last year. Basically said, hey, man, we want to get you some extra money. We want you here. Zero career starts for somebody that's been in the league for 7 years. But he has played in 4 games. You look at his career stats, 25 of 37. That's all he's done. That's his entire career. 188 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Nothing. Just nothing. But the coaches like him. A very positive person, and they want to keep him around, but what's the role, right? Right now, Jimmy Garoppolo is the backup quarterback. I don't think Jimmy's going to be here for the season. I think he'll be traded or released. I don't even think released. He'll be traded eventually. But if Sudfeld's your backup quarterback, that's an issue. What is the role of backup quarterbacks in the NFL? It's to basically go 500 for a 2 to 3 game stretch. That's it. Get one win. If you're going to start 2 games, get one win. If you're going to start 3 games, maybe get 2 wins. That's it. And that's what this guy is. And there's still a lot of unknown. He's very well seasoned. He's been around a lot of very quality quarterbacks, a lot of very quality coaches and talent evaluators, and Shanahan loves him. They gave him a 1 year, $2 million guaranteed contract, so it's not like he's getting cut. I know they drafted Brock Purdy. That dude's going to be on the practice squad. Nate Sudfeld, the only way he doesn't make the roster is for some reason they keep Jimmy Garoppolo. And even if that is the case, they might keep 3 quarterbacks on their active roster. But sheesh, that scares me. That does scare me. The confidence level in Nate Sudfeld coming in starting more than 2 games scares the hell out of me. But we have seen Kyle Shanahan work with some very subprime quarterbacks like Nick Mullins. It was average. All the turnovers, whatever else. I don't think we'd get that from Sudfeld, but we don't know. You know, you look at C.J. Beathard. That never really worked out, but there were some flashes. I think that's what you'd expect with Sudfeld. It'd be very stressful watching him start many games. He's probably going to be in the bottom 5 or 10 of NFL backup quarterbacks. And so that's scary to me. Now, do I want him in the quarterback room? Yes. Do I want him around Trey Lance? Yes. Does he have a knowledge of this offense and of the NFL and defenses? Yes. Has he ever put it into practice? No. 37 career pass attempts in 7 years. That's not what you want. But Shanahan believes in him, and we'll just have to see. But yeah, if he's stepping into games, whew, you know, it's not going to be a lot of confidence. But I love this guy. Love him as a human. Love the traits. Love all those things. Just never seen it. And so the 49ers, if Jimmy G does in fact move on, which I expect, you're going into the 2022 season with Trey Lance, who's played for 10 quarters, and Nate Sudfeld, who's only thrown 37 career passes. Not a lot of experience in that room. So we'll have to see.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to another edition of the 49ers Roster Countdown. We are at number 47, starting at 90, almost halfway through. We've got a new addition, free agent, defensive end, Kamoko Touré. This is, it's interesting because I think in retrospect, if the 49ers knew that, you know, Drake Jackson would fall in their lap at pick 61, would they make this signing? I don't know, but this has been one of the key kind of roster construction philosophies of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan before the draft is we plug every hole, plug every single hole in free agency right before the draft so you're not dependent or forced to go after a certain position. And if you overload at a premium position like what we just saw with defensive end, that's okay. Allow it to filter itself out again. And when we look at who Kamoko Touré is, it's this dude needs a biopic. Let's just be honest. You know, immigrating from Western Africa at 3 years old, not playing football till, you know, the end of his junior year in high school. Didn't even start the season his junior year. Never played football till, you know, halfway through his high school career. And 1 year later is leading the state in sacks and all these other things. So let's dive in. Jersey number 53, Bowman's number. Does hurt to see that, but I get it. You can't retire every number, but man, I love me some Bowman. 6'5", 253. He's big. He doesn't play as big. That's not really his strength. Whenever I watched his film, and I'll be sharing with you my pre-draft write-up way back whenever he was drafted. He's in his fifth season, but we've been doing these, you know, draft write-ups and all that stuff for so long, we can go back and look at that. He's 26 years old. He played in Behringer High School, Newark, New Jersey, right smack dab in the middle of Newark, the Fighting Blue Bears of Behringer. He was a three-star recruit, went to Rutgers, information technology and informatics major. So dude's got some intelligence, and it doesn't take long at all to kind of realize where it comes from. Family immigrated from Guinea when he was 3 years old, didn't play until his junior year in high school, and again, didn't even start, you know, did go through the offseason, like literally joined the team in the middle of the year. He was a three-sport athlete in school, basketball, football, track and field, and, you know, the Blue Bears weren't good. He led them to their very first playoff game in 26 years, was a track and field champ in triple jump and long jump as a junior in high school. He's explosive. So you're talking about somebody at 6'5", 250, winning state and triple jump and long jump. This dude, athleticism for days, and his body was able to support the weight, and he's still able to keep his speed. He's got a great get off. Now, As I said, his junior year, he joined the team. His senior year, he led the entire state of New Jersey with 19 sacks as a senior. Listen to these stats as his senior year in high school. 105 tackles, 28 tackles for loss, 19 sacks. Insane. It's his first full year playing football. Like, just raw athleticism and kind of what he brings to the table. Joins Rutgers, 2017 All-Academic Big Ten. 2017 Academic Excellence Award, the team's most elite scholar athlete, played in the Senior Bowl in 2018. 49ers love those guys. And, you know, never really, let's just be honest, he's never really come into his fold, his full potential. But he has carved out a niche or a role in the NFL, and that's a part-time pass rusher. That is what he brings to the table. Now, he ran a 4.65 40-yard dash, but he had good bend, really good bend. This is my pre-draft write-up of him, and as I go through this, I'm going to throw on some film. You know, I did this on Patreon, so if you want to watch the full breakdown with audio commentary walking through all that stuff, just go to patreon.com/49ersrushpodcast or Google 49ers and Patreon. We're the first thing that pulls up several breakdowns of the entire free agent class, draft class, whatever else. So if you want to watch the full thing and pay attention to the film, that's there. And if you listen to audio wise, that's okay. You're not missing any of the content that we got, but if you want to check the video out and the breakdown, that's over on Patreon. Now, my pre-draft write-up of him, you know, talked about how he only played 2 years of high school, very, very raw, went back-to-back shoulder surgeries his junior year, which really hurt him. And it did seem like he fully recovered from that. Athleticism was always there, but it's a lack of pass rush moves. He doesn't have the diversity. He's raw. And so he never had those 3 to 4 moves or counter moves, whatever. He either won early or he didn't win. I said that he was a potential player, somebody could take a chance on, special teams. He blocked 3 kicks for the Rutgers. And so he's got a lot of potential. Just hasn't been uncorked. Kind of a 1-2 trick pony guy. That's all that he's shown so far. My player comparison was, I'm going to pronounce this name horribly wrong, Kamali Correra, right out of Boise State. And I had a 4th to 5th round grade on him, but he went in the 2nd round, number 52 overall. And so, you know, if you look at what he did for the Colts, they drafted him in 2018. He came out only 3 starts in 4 years, which is not good. But whenever you look at his pass rush efficiency, that's what jumps off the screen. I was pretty impressed going back through his film for the Colts against the run. It wasn't near as bad as I thought it was going to be, but he's a pass rush efficiency guy, meaning he doesn't need a lot of snaps and he can still make his presence known. So, you know, again, if just going through kind of what he did each year, his rookie year, probably played the most, you know, played in 14 games, 3 starts, had 4 sacks, 13 quarterback hits. Next year, played in 4 games, got hurt, only had 91 snaps total, but he did have 1.5 sack. 2020, played in 7 games, he had 1 sack, 115 snaps, got hurt again. Last year, 2021 for the Colts, which is the film I'm showing you now versus the Texans, 13 games, 0 starts, 5.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 225 snaps. And so if you average out kind of everything that he's done, he's played in 38 games, only 3 starts all his rookie year. He's not going to be starting for the 49ers under any situation. I don't care if, you know, 2 to 3 different defensive ends get hurt. This guy's not a starter in the NFL. That's not what he brings to the table. What he brings to the table is situational pass rushing depth, which is valuable to teams that love defensive ends, defensive line play. The Colts value defensive line play. The 49ers value defensive line play. So he's a fit in the sense of, hey, if you put a premium on this position, he's your guy. And, you know, you could go through and talk about teams starting defensive ends. That's fine. But whenever you get down to the 4th, 5th, 6th defensive end, that's what's going to tell you the depth and the how good a defensive unit is. And the 49ers have it better than anybody. So if we look at his career starts, or his stats, sorry, 38 games, 3 starts. He's got 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, 12 sacks. Pretty dang good. 88 pressures, 22 solo tackles, 11 assisted tackles, 7 tackle for loss, 29 quarterback for hits. So, I went through, basically he averages 22 pressures and 4 sacks a year. That's what he has been in a lot of limited time because, again, he's had injuries. That is an issue. And if you just look at his 2021 numbers last year for the Colts, he would have been 6th in pressures for the 49ers and 4th in sacks. Efficiency on a limited snap count. Again, he kind of averages about, 20 snaps a game. That's his average. And I think that could even go down for the 49ers, somewhere around that 14 to 17 snaps a game. So you've got somebody, if you look at just mini camp and OTAs, he lined up almost exclusively with the second team at the right defensive end. Well, Bosa wasn't there, so that's going to kind of play into it. But that's what he's going to be. He's going to be that fourth or fifth defensive end that is just a pass rusher. So if you're in the Bravo group, he's going to get some snaps there. You're bringing in the NASCAR package, probably not going to be one of the starters on there, but will be the first one off the bench to come in, third, fourth quarter whenever people are tired and they're wanting to rush the passer. So there's going to be some games where you might not see him very much at all, 5 to 6 snaps. And then there's going to be some games where you're playing a very pass-heavy team where he's going to get 25 to 30 snaps. So he's a matchup player, but he gives the 49ers a lot of options and variables that they can kind of spice things up on defense because you're going to need those rushers. You're going to keep everybody fresh. And I think one of the people that are going to be most happy about this is Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa is one of the best players in the NFL, but whenever he's, near the top of defensive end snap percentage, that's not a good thing if you're trying to make a playoff run. This allows Nick Bosa to get a little bit more breathers and not be so dependent upon one player in the pass rush. Okay, so again, best projection, I've got him. He's making the team. The contract says he's making the team. I think that there would be people, Jordan Willis, probably going to be behind him. There's lots of different Alex Barrett's going to be behind him. But it always plays itself out. Injuries happen, whatever else. This dude's making the roster. I've got the over-under on his 2022 stats for the 49ers at 4.5 sacks. So, if I was a betting man, that's where I would set the bar. Because I'm not sure he's going to get 5, but I'm pretty sure he's going to get 4, if that makes sense. And that's all you need from him. He does not need to be a Pro Bowler. He does not need to be a starter. That's not what his role is going to be. His role is going to continue to put pressure on quarterbacks, even if our backups are in. And that is something that very few teams, especially on the defensive line, can say. So I love this. Now, I will say this. Most likely scenario is he plays a lot early. He's a veteran. 49ers love vets. But might lose out some playing time if Drake Jackson, the rookie, shows out. So plenty of snaps to go around. But how much he does play, that's going to be up to, how he can kind of hold on to that and kind of keep the rookie at bay. If he gets production early, man, you just slowly bring on Drake Jackson. You do not need to rush that. And I hope that the 49ers are kind of smart with that. But that's Kamiko Touré. I like him a lot. Thank you, Anthony and Josh, the producers of this entire series. And man, we are getting into some talent. We're at 47. And Kamiko Touré is at 47. That says a lot about this team. Depth, depth, depth. We're just going to keep counting them down.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Number 46 of the 49ers roster countdown. It's a new addition, free agent, linebacker, Oren Burks. And, whenever he first did his press conference being welcomed into the 49ers, my inbox and DMs were full with, is that Patrick Willis? I'll show you a clip that we have set aside as we get to know this player and human who is incredible. All accounts, freaking top-notch person. I would be willing to argue, you know, he's entering into his fifth season in the league and is one of those players that, you know, Walter Payton Award nominee type guy. That's who he has been his entire life. That's who his entire family has been. So if you're one of those people that likes, like, you know, good humanitarian stories, this guy's going to be at the top of your list. So linebacker Oren Burks, going to be wearing jersey number 48, 6'3", 233. 49ers got a type at linebacker, and if this is your first time joining us for this entire series, all the undrafted free agent linebackers and stuff, man, they fit this mold almost to a T. Everybody but Jeremiah Gimmel, the general, he's a little bit different. But when looking at Oren Burks, he's 27 years old, as I said, entering into his fifth season. He played high school ball at South County High School in Lorton, Virginia, just off the Potomac River, southwest of D.C., just outside of the suburbs and kind of the city circle, the Fighting Stallions. And he chose to go to Vanderbilt, which, you know, he had offers from Duke, Maryland, Boston College, and Vandy. So you can already kind of paint a picture of who this kid is academically. Top notch. Now, Oren Spencer Burks is his name. He is the son of Orlando and Wanda Burks. And listen to this. His young sister, you guys like this one, softball standout player. We're at Stanford. So that's kind of where it is. Dad was a systems engineer. Mom works as a program operation manager. And Burks completed his undergrad degree in human and organizational development in 2017. Active leader on campus. We'll go through his football career, but I think that this is kind of important. You know, Burks was the president of the Student Athletic Advisory Committee, football representative to the Student Advisory Committee, co-founded and coordinated events for revitalizing and power Vanderbilt's African-American male population, volunteers with Project Safe on Campus, All-State National Good Works Team, the 2017 Wooden Citizenship Award, voted finalist for Vanderbilt's Campus-Wide Outstanding Senior Award. I mean, it just keeps going. He had a national story on him in the NCAA Championships magazine, represented teammates at the SEC Media Day, voted Mr. Commodore in 2017 by student athletes. That's kind of the number one award. Now, okay, here we go. Let's dive into some of the football stuff. Going back to his days in high school, two-year captain, three-year defensive starter. He was a linebacker and bounced around whenever he went to Vanderbilt, played three different positions. Named first-team All-State as a senior linebacker, district's defensive player of the year, team MVP. The dude has produced. He had three touchdown catches and four block punts in 2012, which is incredible, to say the least. Brought his team, the Stallions, to the state title game. And 2013, his first year at Vandy, he didn't play too much. He was a backup, moved to safety, back to linebacker, back to safety. 2014, finally started to show up as redshirt freshman. Started seven games at safety, just kind of all over the place, but he got injured and missed kind of the final few, you know, games of the season. Then they moved him to outside backer. Started every game in 2015. In the secondary, moved back to safety. He was the free safety. So it went from safety to outside linebacker to free safety. They changed their defensive scheme there and played really, really well. Earned postseason third team All-SEC. Topped the team in everything. Top 10 with three interceptions. And that was as a free safety. He's playing linebacker now. And the speed matches. We'll get to his athletic profile in a little bit. 2016. Change his position again. They kind of put him as the in-box safety slash outside linebacker, and he was awesome. Played in all 13 games, you know, all that kind of stuff, and, you know, his stats were great. 6.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, 6.5 hurries, fumble recovery, interception, all these different types of whatever. And then 2017, that's whenever he went to another new position, and that was as defensive captain at the linebacker position. 45 tackles, solo tackles, 82 total tackles. It was all over the place. Now, off the field, he continued to kind of do what he did. Listen to all these awards. There's a lot here, okay? Fall 2014, SEC Academic Honor Roll. Check that box, right? All the 49ers players, they've almost checked that. If you want to play for the 49ers and you're not an academic, I don't think you have much of a chance. 2015, third team All-SEC. 2015, SEC Academic Honor Roll again. 2016, SEC Academic Honor Roll. 2016, Vanderbilt Outstanding Senior Award. 2016, Warfel Trophy nominee. 2016, All-State Good Works Team. 2016, Wooden Citizenship Cup final. I mean, like, I could just keep going on. 2017, Butkus Award finalist. Golly, man. Hey, the kid, it's just off the charts. Now, then he makes it to the combine. Okay, listen to this athletic profile because it's as good as anybody in the NFL. Height, 6'3". Okay, that's top 88 percentile of linebackers. 40 time, 4.59. Top 81%. Three cone, 6.82. That's faster than Debo. Like, this dude is shifty. Top 90% of linebackers. Vertical, 39.5. Dude jumps out of the gym. 90% of linebackers. Broad jump, 131. 97% of linebackers. Just his athletic comps, not his play style. If you just compare all those height, weight, speed, 40, three cone, all that stuff, his two most common player athletic player comps, Von Miller and D'Amico Ryans. So it like kind of puts you, now is he that caliber of player? He is not. This is a special team / backup reserve linebacker, but the athletic profile and build of this man, Von Miller, D'Amico Ryans. So put that into perspective, how he tests, how he does all those different things. It just builds. Now, my notes on his play, first off, insane versatility. And he's kind of a tweener because his metrics say safety, his body say linebacker, and he's in between. But the 49ers love that. They have so many of those converted safety to linebacker guys. Marcel Harris, DFF, the other safety that they brought in from Alabama last year. His name's fleeting me, but they love those types of players. And so pursuit is probably what he's at his best at. Playing laterally, you know, flying sideline to sideline. The dude's, he's got a boost button, and it seems like it's going all the time. Special teams ace, that's where he's going to be. Leader everywhere he is, on and off the field. My biggest issue with this game is the power run game when it comes right at him. That's probably his weakest point and something that he's got to improve on. You know, that's one of the things that's an issue. He was drafted in 2018 in the third round, pick 88, by the Green Bay Packers and never really came into it. I mean, I'm just going to be real. They select him in the third round. And he just never caught on. He really, really didn't. He finally got his chance to start, and he injured his shoulder in pregame warmups. And so he had to wait a little while, then finally come back, all those things. And if you look at what he was able to accomplish there, played in a lot of games. Only 7 starts in 4 years, though. And so, you know, his numbers aren't bad, but they're not great either. They're really, really not. If you just look at total tackles, his rookie year, 24 total tackles. Sophomore year, or, you know, second year, sorry, in NFL, 11 tackles. Third year, 21. Last year, 36. You know, 2 fumbles forced, 1 fumble recovery. It's been all special teams. That's really what it's been for him. He started 7 games, played in 59. Logged 1,175 special team snaps in his time in Green Bay. He's a special teamer. With linebacker upside, the athleticism's there. Those things are great. Really, really are great. And so, like, that's what he's going to be bringing to this team and to the community. Here is a clip that I want to show you. I think it's only about 30 seconds or so. Might be a little bit longer. But where he talks about what he did in the community in Wisconsin and what he's wanted to do here in San Francisco.
Yeah, so me and my wife were actually on the board for the Sherman Phoenix. They're an entrepreneurship hub in Milwaukee, and they help Black-owned businesses. There's 27 businesses that are run out of that hub. We just provide resources for them to kind of get on their feet and empower them to make a difference in the community, providing jobs and all those things. So we sit on the board for that, super excited about things to come. We just hired a new ED and things like that. And for me, I've always been about community. So, like, wherever I'm planted, I try to make an impact, whether that was in Nashville with Vanderbilt or in Milwaukee or the greater Green Bay area. So we'll continue to do that as I'm here in San Francisco.
I'm pumped, man. It's fun listening to this guy's story. And yeah, Sal's looks like Patrick Willis, which is comforting. Very, very comforting. That's how I feel. Now, the 49ers brought him in March 17th, 2022. They signed him to a two-year deal, but it's not really a two-year deal. It's a two-year deal, $5 million. You know, whatever, that's the actual terms of the deal, $2.4 million guaranteed, but the signing bonus, they added 3 years of dead money onto it. What's that mean? Spreading out the cap hit and basically force it. He's got to be a lock to make the team. You don't cut him with the guarantees and the signing bonus that he got, but he's being paid like a linebacker. Now, why is that? If you look at what is out there right now and what I expect for him to do, you know, this year, he's going to be like a special teams captain probably, okay? Leader on and off the field, we've documented that. But where does he fit in the linebacker rotation? Because he played all three linebacker spots all through camp. Does that mean they haven't found a spot for him? Or does that mean he's the primary backup for all of them? Which I think is a strong case, because if you remember, Aziz had not one, but two offseason surgeries. So Aziz Alshire, I'm not sure he's going to be ready when the season starts. I really hope he does, because if he is, 49ers have the best linebacking group in the NFL. I don't think it's close. But that number three linebacker spot's open right now with Aziz in question. And so if that's the case, I think, you know, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, one and two are locked up. I think even if Aziz comes back, you guys know me, I've documented this completely, the 49ers love Greenlaw, so I think he'd be the number two. If Aziz is out, now you have a fight for that number three spot. DFF, who I like a lot, the 49ers like a lot, and Oren Burks. Now, that's for this year, and this whole countdown is predicated upon biggest impact and best players for 2022. Now, if we look at 2023, that's a different story, and that's why I brought up that contract and all those dead years. Because it's quite possible, and this doesn't really affect this year's countdown, didn't really go into the metrics there, he could be linebacker two next year because DFF, Aziz, and Dre Greenlaw, all expiring contracts this year. All of them. Fred Warner's still locked up. But if you're just looking to 2023, right now Oren Burks is probably going to be the number two linebacker. Now, I think they'll bring back one, if not two of those, but that's up in the air. Contracts get weird, injuries, all those kind of things. This seems to be a very similar signing to the Emmanuel Mosley deal a few years ago, where you sign him on a cheap deal for 2 years with the hopes that he becomes a cheap spot starter the following year. So it's something to keep in mind, something to look at. I think eventually, you know, what the most likely scenario is this year, special team stud, and the backup linebacker for all three. So if you know anybody goes down, he steps in. DFF might have something to say about that, but that number 4 to 5 linebacker spot, I think it's whoever wants it the most. But because of the Aziz injury, that makes it a little bit more interesting. I love this man. I ain't going to lie. Character off the charts. Off the charts. Excited for the community. One of those people that just makes me proud to be a 49ers fan. Proud to allow my sons to wear these jerseys and all those things because they make a difference on and off the field. And I'm hoping to get some more press conference time because, man, I ain't going to lie. It feels good watching and listening to somebody like Patrick Willis just be out there. So that's Oren Burks, number 56 on our roster countdown. I want to say shout out to Josh and Anthony. Killing it, man. The producers of this entire series. And, man, we're just going to keep counting them down. We're at 46. This is the halfway point. We started at 90. If you just joined us on this series, go back, check out the playlist on YouTube. You can see 90 all the way to 46. And we're just going to keep going all the way down to number one.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.